This podcast is brought to you by Learn Prime. Hone your development skills at learn.thoughtbot.com.
Giant robot smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. My name is Ben Orenstein. I'm here today with Alex Fox and Jatin Bhandari.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
You know you made it big when you're on this podcast.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see about that. So you two are both students from our METIS program, our boot camp for Rails. Is that correct?
Yep. We're grunts at the boot camp.
Awesome.
She's a grunt. I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Jatin, can you tell me a little bit about what your background was before you came to METIS?
Yep. So before coming in, I was actually working in health administration for an NGO out in India. Mm-hmm. I'm a graduate from the University of Toronto. Did a degree in health studies and anthropology. So I totally had no background coming into this program.
No programming.
No programming whatsoever.
Okay.
In high school, I used to make fun of computer people who want to become computer engineers, and look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now I really want to become one, and I respect them.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally had no background in it, and then just got an email from Kaplan because I was studying for my GRE. I wanted to do my master's.
Mm.
From the information that was on the email, sort of just read it, and then did a lot of industry research. And I thought, you know, this is something I wanted to do.
Hmm. So you actually ended up doing this instead of getting a master's degree?
That is correct. I felt like going through web development, it could definitely give me sort of a different edge. Mm-hmm. If I want to apply for a master's program. And I've been enjoying it so much that I don't know if I want to go back to school and get that traditional degree, because it's so fulfilling.
Mm, you're like the horror story of higher education, right?
Pretty much. You know, I used to think like that's the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I love about this industry is it's less about what's on a piece of paper. It's more about your talent. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's refreshing.
Yeah.
Any industry you go to, it's like, what degree do you have? What school do you have? Here, it's like, what can you build?
Right.
What are your talents?
Mm-hmm.
Showcase it. So I'm embracing the situation right now.
Yeah, sounds like it. And how about you, Alex?
Well, I also sort of come from a humanities background. I graduated last spring from the George Washington University in D.C., and I majored in history. So after I graduated, I was sort of at a loss of what I wanted to do. And I, like most post-grads, just started studying for the LSATs, thinking that, okay, I'll just continue going to school because that way I don't have to make any real career decisions immediately. So I started studying for the LSATs, and I really enjoyed like the logic games and the puzzles and et cetera. I had a lot of fun with that. And after talking to a few people, they were like, hey, don't go to law school. It's not like studying for the LSATs. If you like that, you should probably try to find something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And so I, you know, perused around the web a little bit. I used to do a little bit of web development. You know, I use that term really loosely when I was like 11 or 12. And I would like screw around on Neopets and like do CSS and HTML and, mm-hmm. you know, edit stuff. So I had like a little bit of knowledge in the back of my head. And I researched that a little bit, and I came across all of these boot camps were popping up for Ruby on Rails. And it seemed like a really approachable language and framework for me to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started doing some of my own self-studying, doing these online courses that I could find. And there's a lot of resources on the internet, which is awesome if you're trying to become a web developer, because it's super accessible. And like Jatin was saying, you really don't need any sort of formal education in it. You just have to know how to do it. But I did sort of hit a wall with my like self-studying. And I realized I wasn't really learning. I was just sort of doing the motions, like going through the motions of building an app.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would watch these videos and then just sort of do it. And while they would explain it to me while they were, you know, teaching it, it wouldn't register because I was so focused on getting my app to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if I got my app to work, I'd be like, oh, yay, awesome. And I just wouldn't really understand the process behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of recognized that, you know, later in my own studies, about like 3 months in. And so I looked around like the internet, because I didn't really want to move. I'm from Boston. I've been living at home in Newton. So I wanted to find something local, and I just sort of stumbled upon Metis after looking into the apprenticeship program for Thoughtbot. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wasn't quite at the level that they needed apprentices to be. So Chad just sort of sent me an email, the CEO of Thoughtbot, and he was like, hey, we just opened this a boot camp. You know, you should apply. You sound like a good candidate. So I did just that, and here I am, and I really enjoy it. And for the same reasons Jatin was saying, it's a lot different than the humanities in that humanities tend to be really subjective and, like, you know, I can churn out a really good paper really easily, mm-hmm. and I don't really have to think a lot about it. You know, I sort of understand how the structure is. I have to do the research, but that's it. With programming, it's really a lot of, you know, it is like logic and rational thinking and sort of figuring out how stuff works and if you can get it to work. It's kind of more black and white. Like, you can either do it like this or you can't. And as I've learned more now, it's not as black and white as it used to seem. Like, there are ways to be a better coder, write cleaner code, the design, whatever. Mm. But I sort of really like that aspect of it being either right or wrong. And then, you know, once you get it right, you can get it even better and better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's just sort of my story.
Cool. So you both took a bit of a jump where you paid a good amount of money up front and are committing to this fairly long program. Did you have any hesitation about that? Were you worried about committing to something like that?
Before worrying about, you know, the cost and what I'm going to, you know, put into the program in terms of finances, it was a big thing because I'm from Toronto, mm-hmm. from a totally different country. And to sort of drop everything and come to a new city, not knowing anybody, it was quite the mind breaker. Mm-hmm. But like I said, before coming here, I did huge industry research and I found out about Thoughtbot. And once I found out about pretty much their position in the worldwide community for Ruby on Rails, it was almost an easy decision. Mm. And I was almost willing to pay pretty much anything. And
oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
Known that.
I know. It's a good thing I didn't put it on my application. but once I found that out, it was like, okay, you know, how are we going to pay for it? Things like that. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about the program is, even if you don't have the resources to do it, they have so many outside resources like Upstart, and they give scholarships to people who are visible minorities or in the military or women, because those sort of sections of society are not very much represented within the industry. Mm-hmm. So that's a cool thing. Like, for Metis, it's less about can you pay for it. It's nothing like that. It's like, we want you in the program if you're going to be dedicated to the craft. Mm. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't much of a decision for me to come down here, other than if America would let me across the border. That was pretty easy because I'm Canadian.
Yeah, they're still hesitant about that. But yeah, I mean, like, for me, it was pretty easy because I have been living in Boston for a while. I'm living at home, which kind of sucks, but whatever, you know. And yeah, the only hesitation for me was like, do I want to try to get a job in some other industry right now? Because I knew I wasn't qualified enough to get a junior developer job where I was before Metis. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, you know, do I want to settle for something that I'm not really interested in just to move out and sort of start my life? Or do I want to commit to more learning and really be like thrust into this whole new world? And honestly, the second option was super appealing. Like, that's the whole reason why I started, you know, learning how to code in the first place, was because I did not want to settle for some sort of job that I just wasn't interested in and that I didn't see myself growing in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and I'm really fortunate that my parents have been really supportive of my decision. They're really happy that I've found something that I like so much. You know, I haven't always been, you know, like the best, most driven student in college or whatever. And in high school, I did well, but, you know, I just nothing ever really held my attention the way that coding and web development has. So it was a pretty easy decision and choice for me.
I think it's cool that you went and decided to make that investment of time and money and sacrifice of staying home and all that, because I have friends that just ended up taking the job that they could get, yeah. and even though they have no interest in it. And, like, I just can't imagine going every day, week after week, to a job where you're just, like, completely bored by it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I have a lot of friends who have done just that, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to witness that and see that they haven't really been happy doing that. And that they really don't want to stay at these companies that they start at, you know? And while they might be making a, you know, a fair amount of money, it's just, you know, where do you go? Like, are you going to grow at that company and in that industry? Like, to me, it's just, unless you're learning some sort of marketable skill, like, that's why I think, like, the apprenticeship program is awesome. And, like, these boot camps are so awesome because you're learning something that, like, you'll always have with you and that you can always continue to learn. Like, it's such, like, programming, like, in web development is just such a changing, you know, ever-changing career and atmosphere, I guess, that mm-hmm. you're always going to be learning something new, and that's honestly what's really appealing about it. And so it's worth the time, in my opinion, it's really worth the investment and the money and the time just to get a good foothold, you know, so you can continue learning about it. Because once you understand sort of the fundamentals, mm-hmm. it becomes a lot more approachable, and yeah. you get to, you know, network with people, which is awesome.
And in terms of a field, I think the internet is probably going to be a thing going
for
forward.
A while.
So, you know, like, there's probably going to be some jobs around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's looking
like,
that way.
Like, it's really fun because sort of the technology industry is, like, always evolving. And to go into a boot camp, it's 12 weeks, and it's almost like an adventure. If you're kind of an adventure seeker, like, I love adventure, so to come into an industry that's always changing, and we kind of don't know what's going to come out of this because we're going to be junior developers. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the industry is always evolving, so it's kind of fun because you don't know what's going to come out of it. So I also find it that I'm probably in one of the most exciting points of my life right now.
Very cool. So what has the day-to-day been like?
For the first 5 weeks, it was really lecture-based. So, you know, we started off learning some basic Ruby, you know, some basic programming in general, how to use Git, etc. You know, we made some small programs like Hangman and mm-hmm. how to read an external file, you know, with Ruby and stuff like that. And then we sort of delved more into, like, the web development side of it, and we learned some Sinatra, and then we started with Rails and the basics of, like, what Rails is really fundamentally based on. Mm-hmm. So we got a really good foundation before moving into, like, the Rails part of it, which was cool because when I was learning it on my own, it was sort of, like, interchangeable. Like, Ruby on Rails was just, like, to me, it just was, like, one thing, but
right.
they distinguished it really well at Metis. Like, you know, this is the programming language, and then this is what is built off of that.
Right.
One thing, I was actually talking to one of the instructors yesterday. We were comparing sort of other boot camps. In Metis, at least, there was a large concentration on Rails versus some of the other ones. And he was saying it's interesting how maybe some of the other boot camps might give more time to Ruby. But essentially, a lot of your job, you're going to be working within the framework, within Rails. So there was a big concentration on Rails. So that was between 5 to 7 weeks. And then sort of after 7 weeks was finished, for 2 weeks, we started mock client projects. So we pretty much went through the entire motions that a ThoughtBot project would go through. Mm-hmm. We had client meetings, and we used a lot of the software, auxiliary softwares like Trello boards and things like that, sort of just to get used to the ThoughtBot process and how to consult and things like that. So we were working in teams of two or three, and it was good because you learn how to collaborate with people, and you're going to be working with a lot of people. So teamwork is a big part of it. Mm. And these projects, they really push our limits in terms of how to work within a team. But everybody here is nice. It's a good cohesive mm-hmm. group.
Yeah, we've got mm-hmm.
a great group. So everybody worked well together, and we did presentations in front of a whole group. Like, some of the Kaplan advisors had come in to watch us and how we would present the apps. So that was really fun. And right now we're at the tail end of our capstone project, which was the final 3 weeks. And it's been sort of an ongoing process. By the fourth week, we had to come up with a final sort of mock-up or drop of what we wanted to do. And then it's just been an ongoing process every weekend just to add on to it. But the final 3 weeks is, like, really, you know, the meat and potatoes of it. We've been building it, and pretty much everybody now is in their styling phase, and, you know, we're getting ready to present our apps at Career Day.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been really interesting because since we've known for the entirety of our time here that we were going to be working on these capstone passion projects in the last 3 weeks. And even though I knew that, like, and we've been doing agile development techniques, you know, so yeah, we use Trello, we make wireframes, you know, you sort of adjust your ideas. I ended up scrapping my entire first idea, like, right when we started working on these because I simply wasn't passionate about it. And it took me a while to find something that I thought I really, you know, wanted to invest my time in. And, you know, that sacrifice, me making that decision, maybe sacrificed some potential functionality of my last one because it was way more, you know, thought out and drawn out. But I'm glad I made that decision because I'm working on something that I really enjoy. And I think that a lot of the students here have found, they've at least have known for a while what they wanted to work on, and they've had this idea in their heads. And that's why it was cool to do the client project at first, because they provided us with a topic and an app idea, and we had to work with that. So it was, it's interesting to like sort of have the contrast between the two. You know, you're following the client's instructions, which can almost be easier because they want you to build something specific, and they tell you what they want, and you do that for them. And you can, you know, figure out what design and like all other functionalities that it can have. But as we realized, 2 weeks is not that long. You know, a lot of us, I think, really overshot it. We're like, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then at the end, we had to scale it way down. And so I think a lot of us learned from that experience, and we've taken that into our capstone projects. And we're not, at least I'm not, and I've talked to a few other students, it's, they're really not trying to overcomplicate their apps. They're just trying to make a really solid, functional, well-built application.
Yeah, I think during the group projects, a lot of people ended up switching their passion project because they understood, well, there's two things. People either made it more complicated or they made it less complicated. They made it more complicated because they found out sort of what we actually are capable of doing, which was cool because at least for me, I thought, okay, let me start off with something simple. But once the 7 weeks was up, I was like, damn, I can actually build things. Yeah. Right. So I made it a little bit more complicated, and we got some really cool projects going on. Like, we got one guy who's working with Bitcoin. I'm doing an e-prescription application. Alex?
I'm doing like a harm reduction web application for, you know, like drug addicts in the Boston area and people in recovery, and sort of trying to provide resources and make it sort of an interactive community for people to go to.
Yeah. And then we got one guy doing some work with senators and congressmen, the amount of bills that they've passed and their current income, which is really cool. So everybody, if you talked to them maybe about 10 weeks ago, they had pretty simple apps, but sort of the as the weeks went by and the creative juices started flowing, people really brought in a lot of cool concepts. And to see everybody at the tail end of their projects now, like, it's just awesome about looking at what people have come up with in such a short amount of time.
So what did feedback look like? What mechanisms were there for to kind of be teaching you guys and giving you feedback on your work?
Well, during the client projects, it was pretty easy to get feedback from them because we actually had like a client meeting with them at the end of the first week. And from there, they sort of reviewed our work, and we told them what we had done, and we showed them our Trello boards. And I learned a lot just from that single meeting because they were like, okay, well, this is what how you should be using the Trello boards, you know, add more to it, make every single, you know, entry you have on the Trello board a feature of your application and link to, you know, a GitHub pull request that features that. That like kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh, wow, that's such a good idea. Like, I would have never thought of that on my own. So that type of feedback has been awesome. And, you know, the instructors are always available on Campfire and, you know, when we're in the class, and they usually stay after hours for help. And it's really awesome because they instruct really well, but they don't outright tell you the answers if you have a question. They really help you come to these conclusions on your own so you really learn and understand the materials. And I don't know if we've really received any explicit feedback on our projects right now in terms of like, oh, this is great, awesome, whatever. It's more like, okay, I don't know if you're going to be able to complete this feature by this day. Maybe you should do this instead. So it's really awesome to have, you know, people there who have done this a million times for real clients and who know our skill levels to be able to sort of help guide us and help us pick what will be best suited for our app and best suited for a career day.
Sure. And there's also, I know you guys did a lot of pull request feedback, things like that. Lots of polls.
Lots of pulls.
Yeah, that was really fun because through the pull requests, you get a plethora of feedback from the instructors. Mm-hmm. And from when we started the group projects to now, you're seeing that the pull requests, they're getting, like the comments are getting smaller and smaller and smaller because everybody's code is evolving that much better. Mm. And on the pull requests, like a lot of things, they're more complex issues now, like architecture, whereas before you'll see indent two spaces or like, oh, you know, you can remove white space, you know, do this on Vim, something like that. Because actually cool thing about Vim is we're all using ThoughtBot's dot files now. Mm. So that's cool.
Or Jsteiners. A plug for Jsteiners dot files.
A lot of us started off on Sublime,
yep.
But our instructors have been pushing us to adopt Vim, which is really cool now. And everybody's just blazing on that keyboard, and you can hear it. Like, you know, once you switch Vim and then you're on your browser, you can hear people like smashing Command R to reload that page and to see if it's happening. But so there's a lot of, I know this podcast is, you know, giant robots smashing giant robots, but we're smashing that keyboard up in the medics office.
It's really funny because Vim is definitely something we've learned, and I know that I've actually watched a few of your videos on Vim, and that's really helped me because, and I still might be like this if you watch me, if an expert watches me use Vim, you'll probably think, what is this girl doing? But compared to where I was before I was just sort of like smashing the J key and like using the cursors and just, you know, kind of treating it like Sublime without a mouse, basically.
Yep.
But now that I've learned more shortcuts, I'm still by no means like a lightning quick Vimmer, but it's really cool to see the progression that all of us have made because it was... Honestly, one of the hardest things I've had to learn was switching from Sublime to Vim. Hmm. It was just because it was like you were going so slow and we were learning from the lectures at this point. So you're trying to follow along with the lecture and then code your own stuff. And it's your brain handling like four different things at once.
Yeah.
Which is why they didn't want us to use Vim at first because it was like learning a lot of different things at once. But now that we've learned it, and I just put Sublime in my trash can, you know, and it was just like, all right, I've got to do this, I've got to stick it out. And it's really like, it's obvious that a lot of people have become way more proficient in it.
Nice.
Yeah, the instructors are always pushing us to get better. Like, they introduce Vim, now a lot of us are also using Tmux, things like that. So they've fulfilled everything that they said they would in the course syllabus, but they just keep on pushing us more and more and more, and it's awesome. The resources that Metis gives us is wicked, like Campfire, they're always available there. So one thing I can say is definitely, you know, Metis really nailed down the cultural part.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
Well, the way ThoughtBot is, and we had a talk with Chad about how he sort of built ThoughtBot and what he wanted the culture to be like, and that very much has been mimicked in Metis. So, you know, code passionately, but also enjoy the people you're with. So lunchtime, we'll all grab lunch together. The weather's getting better, so we're playing like spike ball.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some of the ThoughtBot guys come in. I know Phil was hanging out with us last week.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing some pretty hardcore tournaments with Steiner. So that's
someone
fun.
Broke your toe.
Yeah, and then, you know, like yesterday, we're just lying down in the garden, just hanging out, getting some vitamin D. So it's cool. We're all hanging out. And then on the weekend, sometimes we get together. There was a beer trip. A lot of the Metis people went up to New Hampshire and brewed their own beer. Things like that. You know, we're having fun. It's, if I can compare this class to anything, it's kind of like, you know, that one class in high school during your senior year that totally made high school what it was. That's what kind of Metis is like. It's like it's reliving that wicked high school class.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, and I mean, a lot of that has to come with, like, I think the quality of the people that are here. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, Metis did an amazing job at finding the right personalities for this class because it's really crazy how well we all mesh together, you know? Like, I've never gotten along with this many people and like while spending this much time with them. You know, you have to think we spend a lot of time together. Not too much, you know. It's not like we're working 100-hour weeks, but, you know, we're always together. And then if we're not together, usually we are hanging out together, like, after hours or go to a bar or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool how that's just so natural and not forced, and like we just, you know, we all just get along really well, and everyone's also really, really helpful. You know, people, like students are teaching other students at this point, and actually have been since, I guess, week two almost, you know, which is awesome. So there's no real fear of like, oh, wow, like I'm going to be embarrassing myself with this question. Like, you know, sort of like that infamous imposter syndrome that's come up before, you know, in the web developing world and the programming world. I feel like that's sort of is wiped away because we're all so open and honest, and we're like, hey, I have a question on this. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. And no one, you know, judges. No one is like holier than thou. Everyone is really humble and modest because we all were at the same place in week one. I mean, some of us have a little bit more programming experience, but that really evened itself out, I feel, you know, within the first couple of weeks. So it's just really awesome. And I give credit to, you know, everyone who did the application process, because it's clear that it's not just based on like, okay, this person's going to, you know, be a great programmer one day and that's that. You know, it's like this person's going to be a great programmer. They have the aptitude to learn really well, and they can clearly get along with people and have other interests, and, you know, they'll be a really like engaging, fulfilling member of the community, which is really important. And I think that's really and also like a huge part of ThoughtBot too. So it's awesome that that is like weaved its way into the Metis lifestyle.
Yeah. How did the length feel? I know there are programs out there that are shorter and some that are even twice as long. Like, did 12 weeks feel about right?
I would say yes, it did. I know when I spoke into some of the instructors, like, sort of, what was your idea doing 12 weeks? Because I know there's a few boot camps that are, some are 9, mm-hmm. some are 10. Like, why 12? They said they want it to become sustainable, a sustainable way to learn code. But to be honest, it's pretty intensive. Like, it's pushing us. Like, I know by the third week, I was dreaming in code, right? You adopt it so much. And I know they want it to be sustainable, but you become really fired up about it to the point where it's you eat, you breathe, and you bleed.
Sustainable code. From a pace, your pace, like your own mental sanity is sustainable, you mean?
Yeah, it is. Like, you're not going to sleep saying, oh, my God, I can't sleep anymore because I need to code. It's not like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're happy to come into class every day. I know before you said like, oh, must be difficult to wake up really early and come into class. But it's really fun because they're always showing us more. And just to see, oh, what we learned yesterday, we can build upon it and make it that much better. It's extremely encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, the length, like in terms of like months, so what, 3 months, 12 weeks, I think that's a really perfect length. If it was short, I can't imagine it being shorter, honestly. A lot of stuff would have had to been cut out. And also just in terms of like the hours a day, it is intensive, but it doesn't demand too much of you, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, it's 9 to 5:30, 6, you know, with an hour and a half lunch break. And we have, you know, stretching breaks, you know, that was back during the lectures. Now we sort of can do our own thing at our own time because, you know, we're all adults. We can we can work on our own projects. You know, we want to do well on this. We enjoy it. So it was not too demanding in terms of hours you have to put in. And it wasn't. And that was awesome because it wasn't expected of us either. It wasn't. I've read of, and I've heard about a lot of boot camps that are sort of like, yeah, it's very intense. You know, it's a 70 hours a week, 70 to 90 hours a week is the general amount people will put in. And I was like, hell no. Like, I can't do, like, there's a point where I just can't program anymore. You know, I need to sleep. You know, I need to do other things. I just don't write good code after a certain amount of time. And I just don't think it really affects your productivity to put in a certain amount of hours just to say you put in a certain amount of hours. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So now we're all working on our projects and I am putting in more hours because I know what I have to do to get it done. Whereas, you know, before it's like if I had to sit in a lecture for, God, like 9 hours and then like do homework and stuff, that's so unappealing to me because, you know, we're learning throughout the day. You need to give your brain a break. You really do. And the weekends, like they would have some like light homework assignments that we would, you know, it was mostly just related to our capstone project, so we could get a head start on that. But that was just, you know, that was enjoyable to do because it's we're putting stuff that we've learned to use, and it's stuff that we're all interested in. You know, we wouldn't be here if we didn't want to learn it. So coming to class in the morning is really is fun. You know, I would look forward to it every day. And again, like I was saying before, I haven't been like a great student my entire life. I haven't enjoyed necessarily going to classes. Mm-hmm. And what really makes a class, and this is just as a general rule, is the instructors, like the instructors and the way the curriculum is taught, and of course the subject matter. And there's like a perfect blend of all three of those. So, you know, even if it was more rigorous, I think I would be happy doing it because it's presented in such a nonchalant way. It's intensive, but you're with all these people who are doing the same exact thing that you're doing. So it's a lot more approachable. Mm. And it's not competitive, you know? It's not a competition. Like, oh, I put in this many hours a week. Like, who cares? Like, we're all learning the same stuff. We all know where we should be. So I would say the pace was perfect, and the length of time was definitely awesome. Yeah.
Mm. Cool. It seems like both of you have a pretty favorable impression of your experience so far. Are there any things that you would go back and change? Like, any things that could be better?
If I could think back, I know definitely for our pre-work, we just pretty much just concentrate on HTML and CSS.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're going to come into an intensive program, it would be good to, you know, get the foundational aspects out of there. So rather than HTML and CSS, which was very important, I felt like, you know, maybe if we had more of a concentration in just basic Ruby within mm-hmm. the terminal, that would have been good. Mm-hmm. And we sort of expressed those concerns to the instructors. And they took that information and they said, yeah, okay, that's fine. And now they're implementing it into the upcoming two sessions, mm-hmm. which is in New York and Boston. So I think they're implementing the Chris Pine's Intro to Ruby book mm. or something like that some of us read while the course was going. So it's nice. Anytime you have an issue, they're really open. You just talk to them. And if they feel like, yeah, you know, you're right, and they talk to also the other students, They'll implement it, and that's what's awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's awesome how it's just like the programming world. It is sort of a changing environment that's really open to responses and students' experiences. And I agree with Jatine. That was one of the suggestions that I gave them, was sort of I did have like a little bit of a Ruby and Rails background, so I wasn't mm-hmm. sort of limited in that sense. But I know there was a huge learning gap kind of in the first 2 weeks because people were either picking up on Ruby quickly or they weren't, and that sort of had to even itself out. Mm-hmm. And I think that could have been avoided just by, you know, touching a little bit more on the pre-work. But, you know, they're going to be doing that for the next cohorts, like Jatine mentioned. And it really wasn't like ride or die, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of, you know, people had to spend more time on it, which makes sense. You know, people learn at different paces, and that's going to be expected in any sort of class. And it comes out especially in these boot camps. Yeah, so that would probably just be my only recommendation. Other than that, it's been awesome. And maybe learning Vim like on your own before the class starts would be cool too, because mm-hmm. while Sublime was great when I was first like starting out, if I had just bit the bullet and done some Vim stuff first, it would have been a lot easier because I had to unlearn all of these Sublime stuff that I've, you know, sort of had ingrained in my muscle memory. Which is just basically just like regular, like tab, 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 use your mouse, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not only sort of the students who are kind of accountable for everything. We also had to do, I think it was like every 4 weeks, we had a check-in with Kaplan, with the people who are running sort of the business side of Metis. And they wanted to know sort of how are you feeling in this course? So it wasn't only the instructors who were checking up on us. It was also Kaplan as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good because Kaplan was also asking, oh, how are the instructors doing? So everybody essentially is accountable, and that's a good thing. So you know that everybody's going to be working hard to make sure that everybody's happy.
Hmm. So how about for yourselves? Are there things that you wish you had done a little bit differently during the course?
I wish I learned Vim earlier because it's awesome.
Yeah. Hmm.
Like transitioning from Sublime to Vim, that was a harsh experience.
Yeah.
But it was definitely worth it because I'm way more efficient now.
Yeah.
And also CSS, I wish I knew about, Thoughtbot makes bourbon in-house, the bourbon family.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I knew about that way earlier because it makes life easier.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it. Just, you don't really know what to expect going into the program. Mm-hmm. But in hindsight, you know, I would say just CSS and Vim, pretty much that's the only thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't think of, because I'm not sure where I'm, I mean, I know where I'm at, I guess, where with this program, but only time will tell sort of when I'm put into a real work environment, like what my haves and my have-nots are. So it's hard for me to say right now, like, oh, I wish I had done this more.
Sure.
But I really hope to start learning how to make tests soon. And I don't think it would have been prudent for them to have taught testing mm-hmm. at all, actually, in the short, you know, 12 weeks that we were there. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of something I wish I had focused on a little bit more on my own, sort of on the side. But then again, it's hard to sort of figure out what is the most important thing I should be focusing on. Is it, you know, my project's features, or should I try to learn something new that I'm going to have to eventually learn, which is, you know, TDD? Because we've mostly done error-driven development. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess that's one thing I wish I personally had done, and I'm going to start working on as soon as I get out of the course, if not sooner than that. And that's awesome that we have access to the Learn, Thoughtbot's Learn videos, mm-hmm. because those are super helpful. I've watched a few of them, and at least the first one, the tests, is really, really helpful. So I'm really happy that we're going to be able to utilize that. And we only got access to that towards the end of the course. And I don't know, some people wanted access to it earlier, but and that's cool, I guess, if they had wanted to do that on their own and sort of explore that more on their own. But I was just sort of focused on what we were learning in person and sort of doing it in person. And I didn't really, like I said, like when I get home, I didn't see myself necessarily watching a Learn video unless I was going to be coding that night, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to exploring more Learn once we get out of the program, because unless I get a job right off the bat, which, you know, who, hey, I might, who knows, but I'll have some free time to be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's a cool thing. Like, once the 12 weeks is over, our learning doesn't stop there because we have access to learn. And our instructors say, once you're finished, once those 12 weeks are up, make sure you start TDD. Hmm. And I think that's cool. But, like, I heard, though, at the past RailsConf, I know that, like, DHH or something said something. He was talking, you know, against TDD. But I find that's cool because it stirs the pot. Right. And the fact that the industry is not stagnant, again, I find that exciting. It's a cool thing that you have to be adaptable. So I think it's cool to see how this industry is going to adapt to what DHH says or, you know, things like that.
Yeah. It's interesting how passionate people are about, you know, people's opinions or like, you know, how they operate. And that's something I had no idea about until I really started this course. I didn't really know how. I thought people were just sort of like, you know, I thought there was only sort of one way to do stuff, you know, mm-hmm. one right way. And I'm certainly not right. Like, there's a lot of different ways to do things, and people have very, very strong opinions towards it. So, yeah, I think it is cool, like, because I'm not an outsider anymore, I would say, but I can still have that outsider's perspective, because I'm not like, oh, you know, I only do TDD and that's that, because I don't even know how to do TDD yet. I mean, it makes sense to me logically, so, which is why I want to learn it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it has to be the end all be all for, you know, programming. And I agree with Jatine. It is a reflection of how the community is constantly evolving and constantly changing. And, you know, you should be, you know, strongly opinionated, but open to changing, mm-hmm. open to changing that.
Sure.
Yeah. I didn't think it'd become so heated.
Yeah.
You know, when I started off, but it's pretty cool. It's fun.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you both coming by and chatting. It sounds like you had a good time, and I appreciate you sharing your experiences.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. So if you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to thoughtbot.com/giantrobots/101. Thanks for listening.